You are listening to a podcast by Spring Hill Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Spring Hill Church is called to reach everyday people with God's grace, His unconditional love, and the life-changing power of His Word. Thanks for listening, and if you would like more information, you can visit us online at springhill.cc.
Well, this is week number 10 in our series called Keys to Powerful Prayer, and I hope you've enjoyed this series. We've got one more week to go next week. You don't want to miss next week. We're going to be talking about something that's very, very powerful and something that should be in the heart and the life of every believer, and that is praise and worship. You know, I heard it said that praise and worship is the highest kind of prayer. So we're going to be talking about that next week, so you don't want to miss that. But our foundation scripture, as we've been reading every week, has been found in James chapter 5 and verse 16. And as again I have every week, I'm going to read three translations to you: the New King James, the Amplified Bible, and then the Passion Translation. And so the scriptures will be there for you on the screen, or you can turn in your Bible and take a look at the scriptures as well. But James chapter 5 and verse 16, the scripture says this: "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." And here's the phrase that we're focusing in on each week, and that is this: the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The Amplified Bible of that last particular phrase says this: the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And then the Passion Translation of that last phrase says this: for tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. Did you hear that? And do you believe it? But he said this: for tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. Do you believe that power, tremendous power, is released when you pray? Well, you ought to. That's what the Word of God says. And so we're learning how to connect with the Heavenly Father, how to communicate with Him and fellowship with Him. And when we do that, tremendous power is released not only into our lives, but into whatever situation we may be praying about. And so, as I've been reminding you, prayer is about your two-way communication with the Father. It's about fellowshipping with Him, spending time with Him. And you need to also know this: God desires to spend time with you. He longs to fellowship with His people. I read a few weeks ago and began including this quote from Oral Roberts in our series. And he said this: prayer is the foundation of every Christian endeavor. Regardless of any man's ability, he will fail if not backed by prayer. Failure of all Christian enterprise is a prayer failure. And so when we try and set about to do things in our own human strength and ability and wisdom, apart from spending time in prayer, I promise you, you will fail. You need the help of God in your life and whatever you're setting your hands to if you want it to be successful. Now, if you don't care, go ahead and do what you want to do. I don't know about you, but I need God's help. So I want to learn how to back everything that I do with prayer first. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 in the New International Version says this: "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Now, I want you to focus in on the first part of that verse where he says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." There are several different kinds of prayer. We've been touching on them over the last few weeks. And listen, we separate them and break them apart so that we can study them and understand them better. However, You can't get rigid with this and clinical with this. What do I mean? Well, you know, there are going to be times in your prayer life as you spend time with the Lord that the Holy Spirit will lead you in different ways during one particular prayer moment, and you might pray several different kinds of prayer within that experience. And if you're trying to be rigid with it and clinical with it, that's going to lead you to fall into a type of religious prayer. No, just learn to flow and move in prayer as the Holy Spirit directs you and leads you, and He'll lead you in and out of the different kinds of prayers. And I know you know this, but the Holy Spirit will never lead you astray. He'll never take you out in left field somewhere. No, He always knows what is best, what is needed at the moment. And so depending on whatever the circumstances are and whatever need arises, He will lead you in prayer in that best fits that particular need and that situation. So I want to, just for the point of review and in our study, let me give you the types of prayer that we've covered up to this point. Number one, we've talked about the prayer of faith. This is the prayer of petition. It's the prayer that we pray based upon God's word, believe in God's word, and expect change to happen. This is the type of prayer that we pray when we need circumstances to change. And so we pray and we believe God in faith, and we believe that the Lord hears our prayers because we pray according to the Word of God, which is the will of God. And then God promised that He would answer those prayers. The second type of prayer that we pray is the prayer of consecration. Now, this is something you can pray every single day. You can pray it more than once every day. And that is this: it's when we dedicate and commit ourselves to the will, plan, and purpose of God for our lives. And so we plan to do certain things, but we must always wrap it up with, or wrap it enclosed into rather, a prayer that says, Lord, if it's your will, if that's your will for me to do this and thus, and we follow after the will of God. And so you can't mix that kind of prayer up with the prayer of faith, because you don't pray the prayer of faith and say, if it is your will. No, you know what the will of God is based on the Word of God. But when you're committing yourself to the will of God, you just dedicate yourself to walking out and fulfilling the will of God for your life, even when you might not necessarily know all of the details of what the will of God is for your life. You still stay committed to it and understand that God is good. He'll never lead you in a way that will mess you up, and you can just trust Him in that prayer. The third type of prayer that we've talked about is the prayer of commitment. This is where we, according to the Word of God, we pray and we cast our cares and commit our worries and our anxieties over on the Lord. And we humble ourselves, we get ourselves out of the way, and we totally commit to God whatever it is that we're facing and that we're tempted to worry about. And then we experience and rest in the peace of God for that situation. You know, God does not want you worried and anxious and full of stress to where you can't sleep at night, your stomach is all torn up because of stress, you can't hardly eat. No, God wants you and me to live in peace. And the way that we're going to do that is we're going to have to learn to cast our cares and our worries over on Him. Here's the good news: He can handle what you're worried about. He can handle what you're stressed about. And so it's all about taking control of the worries that try and bombard your mind, addressing them with the Word of God, and then rolling the care of that over on the Lord. And it's a process. It's a training process. It's not something that comes automatic to us. But I do know this: it will become easier the more that you do it, to the point where you can live in peace. Praise God. The fourth kind of prayer that we've talked about is the prayer of agreement. Now, the prayer of agreement's based on Matthew 18:19, where Jesus said two or three can believe Him, and this is my paraphrasation, but they could come into a heartfelt agreement in unity, believing and saying the same thing, and can receive answers to their prayers. Jesus said, where two or three are agreed together in His name, that the Father will grant the request that have been asked. And so the prayer of agreement is very powerful. It's something that we ought to utilize, and you know, especially in the home. It's a great type of prayer that a husband and wife can enter into, pray and agree together and believe God, and God will answer those prayers. Now, the key is believing the same thing and praying the same thing. And so it's important that we agree together with heart faith in those types of prayers. The fifth type of prayer that we talked about was the corporate prayer, corporate or united prayer. This is where a large group of believers, you know, more than two or three, come together to pray. We often call it a prayer meeting. And this is when a group of believers come together collectively in unity, speaking and praying the same thing. Now, not mimicking one another, not necessarily everybody literally saying the same thing at the same time, but everybody is united in thought and purpose about what you are praying for, and you're able to believe God and to pray together. And we'd already looked at this, but you can experience tremendous results with the Lord in this type of prayer. It's a powerful type of prayer, and churches need to learn this type of prayer. Groups, prayer groups need to learn this type of prayer. And God will show up and answer those types of prayer. Now, as we move into this next type of prayer called the prayer of intercession or intercessory prayer, you might be like me. I grew up and got saved in 1977, and what was known as the charismatic movement had started in the late 60s and had peaked in the mid 70s and was probably cresting the hill at about that time. And so a lot of people, many, many people were being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being able to pray in other tongues and pray in the Spirit, and people, rightfully so, loved getting together and praying together and praying in the Spirit. And so what we would do is we would have those prayer meetings, and we would call them intercessory prayer meetings. And really, it was a misnomer. It was labeled incorrectly because people were getting together and it was a prayer meeting, and there were all kinds of prayer that were used or utilized there in those prayer meetings, but we labeled it intercessory prayer because, again, we thought intercessory prayer was it, man. It was the main type of prayer, and it's really what you wanted to focus on, and that's really not accurate. Again, going back to the proper way is to understand that the best type of prayer is the way that the Holy Spirit leads you to pray at that moment. So what is intercessory prayer? Well, intercessory prayer is standing in the gap in prayer between a person or persons to plead one's case. So in the case of intercessory prayer, it's where we're standing in the gap between the Lord and somebody, a person that needs prayer in that situation. A lot of times it's somebody that might be in trouble or some type of danger. Or there's many reasons that this kind of prayer would be prayed. But I want to talk to you first about the two primary ingredients to successful intercessory prayer. And somebody said, well, I know one of them is faith. Well, no, you need to understand, faith is involved in every kind of prayer. You can't have a successful prayer life without faith being present. So let's just establish that. But there are two other main ingredients that must be present for you to have a successful intercessory prayer ministry. The first one is the main ingredient of love. Love is something that is imperative for you and me if we're going to successfully intercede on the behalf of someone else. Now, again, faith is there also, but the main motivation of our heart in intercessory prayer must be a love for the person that we're praying for. You know, that might sound strange because sometimes as you pray in the Spirit, you might be interceding for someone you don't even know. And, you know, that might sound like it's disconnected somehow, but really you need to understand love is not a feeling. Love is not an emotion. Love is a response that rises out of our spirit because of the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So it is possible for you to love someone you've never met in the natural, never seen in the natural, but you just have this unction on the inside of you, down in your spirit as you're praying for that person, and there is a supernatural love for them that rises up on the inside of you. And really what you and I can do is we can pray and ask God, God, cause your love to rise up big within me. Especially if you're purposing in your heart to spend some time in prayer, Lord, help me to love the people like you love the people. And what you'll find is that the Holy Spirit will cause that supernatural love to rise up on the inside of you. Now, I will say this, it will affect you emotionally. You know, there might be times when you're in intercessory prayer, you're praying for someone and it begins to affect you emotionally. You begin to weep and you don't know necessarily why you're weeping. You just know that's coming up out of your spirit. And the love of God is supernaturally affecting your emotions. Now, it doesn't happen that way all the time. And don't fall into the trap to think that if you don't weep and cry every time that you go to prayer, you haven't had successful prayer. No, again, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. So love is the primary or a primary ingredient to successful intercessory prayer. Believe God for God's love to rise up within you. The second type of ingredient, or second main ingredient rather, to intercessory prayer is this thing called compassion. Now, I want to encourage you at some point on your time, going through the New Testament, particularly the Gospels, and study the compassion of the Lord. It's really interesting. You're going to see something that happens and it will help you to understand what compassion is. Compassion is not having pity for someone. You know, compassion is not where you just feel sorry for people because of the plight that they might be in or the situation that they might find themselves in. You know, somebody's in trouble and you see that they're in trouble and you just feel sorry for them. That is not compassion. That's pity. But compassion is something that's a spiritual thing. And you, oftentimes when the Lord would encounter someone with a need or a group of people with a need, the scripture says he would be moved with compassion. But notice this, there was always action that followed that moving of compassion. See, the difference between pity and compassion is pity just looks upon someone and feels sorry for them. Compassion does something about it. Now, of course, you know, it's not oftentimes that we move in situations as the Lord did, where we act upon that compassion and we heal the multitudes, but you can move with compassion and pray for someone and desire to see that situation changed in your life, in their life. Now see, pity looks at someone and just shakes its head and says, isn't that a shame? Compassion draws you so that you hurt when that person hurts and you do something about it. You know, the scripture says that Jesus is easily touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but we still have to come to him and pray. And we have to ask him for help. But see, a lot of times when you are moved with compassion for someone in prayer, you are connecting with the Holy Spirit and believing him to use you to pray for those people and to see change come about in their lives. Now, We saw this in Jesus' earthly ministry, as I mentioned, in the Gospels. But did you know Jesus still responds to us this way now? The scripture says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, it says this, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Now make note of that word intercession, because it says he makes intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Now that word intercession in the Greek language is the Greek word entunkano, and it means this, we stand in the gap for another person and bridge two people together. It means to fall into a situation or a circumstance with someone else. Now listen to me, as you're praying in the Spirit and you're led by the Holy Spirit to intercede for someone, you literally don't fall into that situation with them, but spiritually, you do. You stand in the gap for them. You enter into that circumstance with them and for them. And what you're doing is you're bridging the gap between them and where their help needs to come from, and that is the Heavenly Father. Intercession is when someone is under impending trouble or judgment, and we stand in the gap for them to stop that impending trouble. We can stand in the gap for people and stop impending judgment in their lives. Now listen, you need to understand, God is not mad at people. But the scripture says the wages of sin is death. And when people get caught up in sin and where they're continually practicing sin and habitually living in sin, there is a price to pay for that lifestyle. There is a price to pay for that sin. And sin has already been judged. So when I say that we're standing in the gap for someone where impending judgment is concerned, it's not that God is desiring to pour out judgment on the people. It's that their sin is crying out and asking for judgment because of the wages of sin. Matter of fact, you know, God desires to not have to pour out judgment. He doesn't want people to experience judgment. He wants them to experience mercy and grace. And that's exactly what standing in the gap for someone can do. We can pray for them, we can intercede for them, and we can ask God to pour out his mercy on them. Listen to Micah chapter 7 and verse 18 in the Message Bible. It says this, where is the God who can compare with you, wiping the slate clean of guilt, turning a blind eye, a deaf ear to the past sins of your purged and precious people? You don't nurse your anger and don't stay angry for long, for mercy is your specialty. That's what you love most. So God desires to pour mercy out in the lives of people. He doesn't want anybody, we've got to get this, he doesn't want anybody to be lost. He doesn't want anybody to have to experience the judgment that sin brings upon someone's life, or as you know, that is coming upon the earth one day because of the sin of mankind. He doesn't desire for that. He's not excited about that. Listen to Ezekiel 33:11 in the New Living Translation. It says, as surely as I live, says the Sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to turn from their wicked ways so they can live. Turn from your wickedness, O people of Israel. Why should you die? Let me say it this way. Turn from your wickedness, O people of the earth. Lost people, why should you have to die? And so intercessory prayer is when we stand in the gap between lost people, or people caught up in sin, people that are getting ready to experience impending danger or judgment, and we cry out on their behalf, and we believe God for His mercy and His grace to show up in their life. We believe God for His protection to show up in their life, even when they may not be asking for it, that we can, by the Spirit of God, cry out and ask God to pour that out into their lives. God does not delight in seeing people receive judgment. He delights, He is happy about people receiving mercy. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, again in the New Living Bible, says, "I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I found no one." See, God is looking for someone to cry out to Him for mercy. God is looking for someone to cry out for Him, to Him, for grace for someone else, for people that need it. Now, as I begin to conclude this, I want us to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 in the New Testament, and I want to read verses 1 through 4 because this is a strong instruction to us as believers. Now, I want to say this. This is applicable right now, especially in the culture climate and the political climate that we are living in right now. Man, I don't remember a time where people were so divided politically, culturally, religiously, all these different areas than we're living in right now. And listen, you can do something about it. You can pray about it. I know it seems huge. It seems like it's overwhelming circumstances, but listen, we serve a God who is able to move in the midst of circumstances that seem impossible. So let me read these scriptures to you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and I'm going to read it to you from the Passion Translation. And I want you, it'll be there on your screen, but I want you to follow along and listen to this carefully. Now, this is Paul writing to believers, or writing to Timothy for the sake of his church. He said, "Most of all, I'm writing to encourage you to pray with gratitude to God. Pray for all men with all forms of prayer and requests as you intercede with intense passion. And pray for every political leader and representative, so that we would be able to live tranquil, undisturbed lives as we worship the awe-inspiring God with pure hearts." Verse 3, "It is pleasing to our Savior God to pray for them." Verse 4, "He longs for everyone to embrace His life and return to the full knowledge of the truth." So, listen, I know it's tempting to complain about our leaders, particularly our political leaders, especially when you don't agree with them. But let me put some context on this. At the time that Paul wrote this, this area of the world was under Roman occupation. And most of, if you're a student of history, most of the Roman emperors were very evil, very corrupt, very paganistic, very idolatrous, and did not follow the things of God at all. But yet Paul said that we need to pray for them, pray for every political leader and representative. Why? So that we would be able to live tranquil, undisturbed lives as we worship the awe-inspiring God. The King James says, so that we can live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So here's my thing. There's nothing wrong with putting to voice your disagreement. I understand that. However, if you stay in that, that's going to take you down the road of murmuring and complaining about those who are in leadership. And I can promise you that won't do anything to change anybody or change any circumstances. But when we pray And we pray for our political leaders. There's something awesome that can happen. Now, in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1, it gives us a very powerful promise. It says this, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes." Now, some people have read that verse and thought it was automatic, that God just moves and manipulates people in leadership as he desires. And that is not the case. What you need to understand, and I'm going to add something to the front of this verse, which will cause this verse to make sense. And that is this, when God's people pray, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. But it's going to require the prayers of God's people. Why? Because God needs an open door into the earth to be able to move in the lives of people. And that open door is the prayers of his people. That open door is the prayer. It's when we lift up these intercessions and prayers and supplications for these leaders and pray for them that God is able to move in their lives. So listen, I understand it can be frustrating. I understand it can be complicated. It can be, very, very upsetting sometimes. But listen, don't allow that to temper your prayers. You know, I'm going to say this to you. And I don't know where I heard this. I heard somebody say it a long time ago. But you can tell someone who is a deep person of prayer and a person that regularly intercedes for their leaders, for political leaders, for their pastor, power pastors, or whoever it might be. You can tell someone who is deeply involved in prayer, and here's how. Because they say very little about those situations. They say nothing derogatory about those people. Because how can you be praying for somebody and then talk bad about them out of the other side of your mouth? You can't. You can't do it. And if you're going to see results, you're going to have your life, and especially your conversation, match up with your prayer life. You can't have prayer one way and your speech and your talk another way. So I want to encourage you, begin to give the Lord an opportunity to use you in this wonderful type of prayer called the prayer of intercession. And I believe that as we do that, and as we as believers begin to engage in this type of prayer, is when we're going to see the changes that God wants to have happen in the earth happen. Now listen, God doesn't move in our country just so we can have cheaper gas. Okay? Now, that could be a side benefit of it, but God moves in our nation, in the United States of America, as a result of our prayers, so that people can hear and receive the gospel. And we need to understand that. God wants you to, you know, be able to prosper financially. But listen, if gas goes to $10 a gallon, so be it. We don't pray and believe God for change in our nation so that we can have comfortable benefits from that. No, we pray for our nation so that the gospel can flow freely and people's lives can be impacted for Jesus. And people can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and be born again. Now, if those other things happen, that's great. And that's awesome. But even if they don't, God didn't fall off the throne, and he still is El Shaddai, the one who is more than enough. He's still Jehovah Jireh, your provider. So I hope that helps you a little bit and to understand the prayer of intercession. So make yourself available to the Holy Ghost for him to use you in this way so that you can see change take place in the world around you. Amen. Do you receive this today? I know you do. Let me pray for you as we close the message today. Father, thank you for these precious people. Thank you for the hearing of the word. I thank you. Jesus said in Mark chapter 4 that the word of God is seed. And I believe, Father, that the word has been sown into the hearts of your people. And I believe, Father, for a harvest of that seed to come forth in abundance in the hearts and the lives of your people. And I thank you for it. Lord, I believe you for it today. And I praise you for it. And Lord, I thank you that as we continue to study prayer, and we study these types of prayer, that you will bring revelation and insight, and you will help us to live and to pray effectively and to see you move and to experience the answers to our prayers that you desire to have come to pass. And I thank you for it, and I praise you for it in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Now, if you're watching this video today and you've never given Jesus Christ your heart, if you've never been born again, I want to ask you to do that today. Here's the good news. The price has already been paid. Jesus has already gone to the cross. He's already died, shed his blood, and then was raised from the dead on the third day so that you and I could be born again. You and I could be saved. And so all we have to do is believe in our hearts that that happened, that it was a fact, and that it's already done, and then believe that Jesus is alive, and then make him the Lord of your life. Take you off the throne and put him on the throne and surrender your life to him. And that's it. That's all you have to do in order to be born again and to become a child of God. Why don't you do that today? Would you just pray this simple prayer with me? Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. And I believe with all my heart that you raised him from the dead. I believe in Jesus' name that he is alive. So, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Wash me in your blood, forgive me of my sin, and make me clean and holy. Forgive me of my past and give me a brand new beginning in Jesus' name. Now I ask you, fill me to the full and overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it and I praise you for it. Amen and amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer with me, we believe you just got born again. We want to celebrate with you. We want to celebrate the best decision that you could have possibly made in your life. And so I want to ask you to do me a favor. Would you just send me an email that says that I prayed with Pastor Brad and gave my heart to Jesus? Listen, we're not going to overwhelm you with a bunch of emails or harass you or anything like that. No, we just want to celebrate with you and we want to pray for you in this new life in Christ that you have begun today. You can email me at mystory@springhill.cc, or you can email info@springhill.cc and just let us know you prayed that prayer. And we would love to celebrate with you. We'd love to be praying for you and agree with you for God's highest and best in your life. And listen, I want to encourage you, and you need to know something. Heaven is rejoicing right now because of the decision that you made today. And so we love you, and we're so proud of you. And just believe God on your behalf in Jesus' name.
Thanks once again for tuning in to the Spring Hill Church podcast. We hope that you have been blessed by today's message. If you would like more information about the church, please feel free to visit us at springhill.cc.